Jim, for the house of God. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together tonight under the sound of his precious and holy word. Could I just emphasize again the continued restrictions we have
for entering and exiting, and I know you're very compliant and we appreciate that, but just to remind you again of these restrictions.
Baskets at the exits for your offerings. Today is Building Fund Offering Day, and do remember, please, bringing your gifts toward our Building Fund again. That is appreciated this evening. Could I just say that I learned after this morning service that our sister Margaret McCreary lost her brother-in-law, and we'd like to express our sympathy to Margaret. The McCreary family is also a connection of our brother Robbie's. I understand it's a cousin's husband, so we'd like to extend that sympathy there to the family. Also the Catterson family there, and the Thompson family, and Portavogie lost a member of their family too, just buried yesterday, our sister Ruby Thompson, known to many, of course, long-standing. I think the only foundation member left in the Portavogie Church, of course, her husband was Joe Thompson, known to many. And so we extend to these families our sympathy at this time. Do remember the after church for youth meeting tonight, 8:30 p.m. Speaker David Orr. All youth are welcome to attend. And Monday, Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers meets from 10:30 to 11:30 in the church hall. The Iwana in the church hall from 6:45 to 8 tomorrow evening. Tuesday night, the missionary prayer meeting, Miss Joanne Greer from Liberia will be showing a presentation, and there will be a missionary offering at the end of that service. That's Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10. The morning prayer meeting will resume. We're trying to take further steps back to some kind of normality. So we will be meeting in the prayer room for both prayer meetings next Lord's Day, morning and evening. So the morning prayer meeting at 11. Do please remember that. And I think we will revert back to 6:30 in the evening then, these peculiar times we've had. But so that's going to be in the Boyd Memorial Room there at the top of the stairs for both the prayer meetings. So please keep that in mind from now on. God willing, we'll be doing that. And then the service at 11:30 and 7, I trust to be here. Our sister Naomi will minister in song in the evening time. Do plan to be with us next Lord's Day. Special season of prayer on Zoom, Saturday morning the 19th. That link will be sent out. If you want to link in to that prayer meeting, you can. That's on Saturday morning the 19th of February, 10 to noon. Please do plan to join us in prayer. And then, of course, those who are going through treatments, good to see some folk back in our midst again this morning and again tonight. And we do continue to pray for all who have had illness laid aside in various ways, that the hand of the Lord will be upon them and that they'll be restored to wanted health and strength soon again. Now we're going to sing the words of the hymn on the screen. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me on the cruel cross he suffered, and the curse to set me free. And we'll sing this hymn, keeping our seats, and then if you're able to stand, we'll stand for the opening prayer, please.
Thank you. And then Natasha will come immediately after the prayer to bring her first ministry and song. Our gracious God and Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for gathering us together in this house tonight. We thank Thee, our God, that we're here, the living, to praise Thee. We rejoice in Thy great love, which Thou hast shown toward us. The love that drew salvation's plan. The grace that brought it down to man. The mighty gulf that God Himself did span at Calvary. We thank that Calvary covers it all. The past with its sin and shame, Jesus laid on Him there, and Calvary covers it all. We rejoice, our God, in Thy mercy and goodness, and to allow us to be here tonight. For others, O God, we know that sickness prevents them, and we pray for healing. We pray for Thy touch upon those bodies that need that touch tonight. We thank You for those who have been restored to our midst and are recovering, and we continue to touch them also. But for others, O God, they need that touch tonight. We pray for those who sorrow. We pray for the McCreary family to comfort them. And for the Thompson family there too, we pray for that comfort and grace to them. We pray that they may know the presence of the Lord, even with them at this time. And we ask of Thee, O God, that Thou wilt move across our land tonight. A land that is full of wickedness and sin. Where, O God, the love of many is waxed cold and sin abounds in every hand. We cry for Thine intervention. Not only in this land, this island, but this nation and across the nations of the world. We pray for the moving of God in these times. We pray that the Spirit of God would come. And the power of God would be known. And the blessing of God would be upon us. That we'll see Your arm made bare. Even in this service tonight. As Thy servant ministers in song in a moment. And later, as we bring Thy word to, we pray that Thou wilt anoint us, equip us. We're thinking about the pot of oil this morning. We thank Thee for the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we pray for that anointing oil upon us as we handle Thy word tonight. Bless the meeting afterwards too. Bless David as he brings Your word. Fill him with Your Spirit. And grant, Lord, that young people will gather. And grant, Lord, there be an interest among young for the word of God, for fellowship together. We pray for Thy presence tonight. That Thou wilt do us good. That Thou wilt do us good this week in the meetings. That we'll be convened. That Thou wilt pour out Thy Spirit. And come amongst us with mighty power. We ask it in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. Delight. Natasha, for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts tonight. We're reading together from the book of Mark's Gospel. We're going to be in Mark's Gospel during the next period of time on the Lord's Day evenings, and we're going to be looking at various incidents and various portions in this wonderful book, Mark's Gospel, the second Gospel. Mark chapter 10, and we're reading from verse 17 this evening. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, let us hear the word of God. And when he, that is Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" The disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, but in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." Ending our reading there at verse 31, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Sing the hymn, "Down at the cross where my Saviour died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name." We'll keep our seats again, and then after this, Natasha will bring her final message and song.
Thank you. freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side this Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Natasha, it's wonderful to have that hope. Just a few days ago I stood at my mother's grave, and yesterday she was 22 years passed into the presence of the Lord, and I just had those moments to reflect on her life and the fact that she has gone to be with the Saviour. And so how wonderful that is as well, to think about that. I'm really working you hard, Heather. I'm sorry about this, but we're going to go to 280. And you've been moving about there all over the place, and we appreciate it. But just 280, we'll sing the first two verses and the final verse, please. We're moving on a wee bit further tonight. We're going to have four hymns instead of three, so we're taking step by step to get back to a wee bit more normality. So we'll keep the first two verses and the final one. Thank you.
Thank you.
last verse was written by our late brother Dr. Paisley. Just added on to that hymn, and the great verse it is, thinking about the future and how we're going to be forever with Christ, those of us who are saved. Let's stand, if you're able, for prayer as we come to the word. Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I draw your attention tonight to the subject, What a Tragedy. It's based on Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. The Gospels record for us the many people who met the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. People who came into contact with the Savior, who entered into conversation with the Lord Jesus, and those two who were converted to Christ. Sadly, those two who continued on their wayward path to a lost and Christless eternity. Those who cast off the Savior. Remember, the Lord said to those of his day, will ye also go away? And he's still asking that question to people in 2022. He's still asking that question even tonight in this gospel service. Will ye also go away? In this passage of the Word of God before us, in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, we see a contrast between two young men. One of them is the rich young ruler, and the other is the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler had a lot going for him as far as this world was concerned, but he had nothing in eternity. When the Lord Jesus Christ had nothing in this world, he had not where the Bible says to lay his head, but he had everything. Of course, in his person and also in eternity. The rich young ruler had earthly position. The Lord Jesus Christ left the throne of glory. He made himself of no reputation. He came into this world. He had no possession at all as far as men were concerned. The scripture is one of Bible tragedies. And so much is right about this story. For instance, the young man came at the right time. There is no better time for people to come to the Lord Jesus than when they're young. He came to the right person. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked the right question. A question about eternal life. He received the right answer. And Jesus told him how to go to heaven. And yet, tragedy of tragedies, he did the wrong thing. He went away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So near, and yet so far. What a tragedy. There are three things that I want to draw out from this portion of Scripture tonight as we think about this theme. First of all, the man in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10. This man who came running and kneeled down and spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him the question, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You'll notice he came running. The urgency that he had. He made it his business to get to the Savior. You don't see many people today running to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see many people today running away from Christ. Running in the opposite direction. But this man came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had an understanding in his heart that he needed to meet the Savior. I wonder, have you that understanding tonight? He came running. I want you to see, secondly, he had respect and reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. For he kneeled down before the Savior. He didn't come to revile, or he didn't come to ridicule. He didn't come in a disrespectful manner. He came with reverence in his innermost being for the Son of God. And maybe that's how it is with you tonight. A number of times in the Gospels we read of those who fell down before the Lord Jesus. For example, in this very Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 22, Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, he fell at Jesus' feet. The Bible tells us. And again in Mark 5, the very same chapter, verse 33, the woman with the issue of blood, she came and fell down before the Lord Jesus. There are many other examples too. But here's a man who had respect and reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a man who was respected himself. He was a ruler according to Luke 18 and verse 18. He held some ruling office, perhaps in a local court. He was respected in society. He was highly regarded among the people of his day. And then we notice also he had riches. He was a wealthy young man. The Bible tells us here in chapter 10 of Mark, verse 22, he had great possessions. And wealth in itself is not wrong, if you get it honestly and use it wisely. It is not money that is the root of all evil, but rather it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. According to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. It is those who have set their hearts upon riches who have gone astray, and sadly, many have gone astray today because of this very thing. And so he had riches. He had religion. He said that he had kept the commandments from his youth, verse 20, and the Lord didn't repudiate that statement. Obviously, he was a very moral young man. He was a fine young man. He was an upstanding young man. He was morally pure. He was a good role model, as we would say, for his peers. A good role model in society. Others looking upon the character of this young man would have not been able to find fault with him. He stood out from others as far as his morals were concerned. Yet for all of these things, good as they are, something was missing. There was something that his money and his youth and his morality had not been able to give him. This young man had made the discovery that every man or woman makes sooner or later in life. He discovered that there are some things that money cannot buy. Are you learning this tonight? Some things that money cannot buy. Money can buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Money can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy health. Money can buy a house, but it cannot buy a home. Money can buy a diamond, but it cannot buy love. And most important of all tonight, and I want you to get this, money cannot buy salvation. Don't make the mistake of thinking because you have material things, and because you're young or because you're a morally good person, that you don't need anything. Or that you have life. This young man was aware of the fact that he needed something. He was searching for something. He was searching for that missing ingredient. And maybe it's the same with you tonight. And in the question he asked, we discover his recognition. Verse 17. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He was certainly on the right track. He was getting down to the question. And maybe that's the question that you have upon your heart tonight. Maybe that's the question you have upon your lips tonight.
That's the question you're expressing tonight. Just the question that this young man asked. What do I have to do to get to heaven? Putting it in other words. What do I do to get to heaven before I die? It is challenging you just now. You're perplexed about it. And as far as this young man was concerned, it was a tremendous admission of ignorance on his part. He admitted by his question that he didn't know the answer to life's most important question. How to be saved? How to go to heaven? Isn't the spiritual ignorance of people today amazing? We're living in one of the most intellectual, advanced and sophisticated ages of all time, and yet people don't know how to get to heaven. Don't know how to get to heaven. We're living in a country, Northern Ireland, which has had the gospel and gospel heritage down through decades of time. And yet people in this country, and people in Ballygan tonight, and perhaps people in your family don't know how to get to heaven. There is, however, a little flaw, a problem in the question which this young man asked. That is the idea that he had to do something in order to be saved. What shall I do, he says, that I may inherit eternal life? But salvation is not something we earn. Salvation is something God gives to us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't do something in order to get to heaven. Salvation is not based on what a person does. Salvation is based upon what God does. And salvation is a gift. And it is offered to you tonight in this service through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to get eternal life, all you have to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 12, "But to as many as received Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name." In 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle John said this, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And if you want to go to heaven before you die, or when you die, there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The man, this young ruler who desired to know how he could obtain eternal life. But then secondly, I want you to notice the Master here. And while this young man had a question, the Lord Jesus Christ here had a question too. In response to this young man, verse 18, we have the inquiry of the Lord Jesus, "Why callest thou me good?" You see, this young man, he came with enthusiasm. He came filled with optimism. He came bubbling over with interest. But instead of answering the question, the Lord Jesus Christ put His own question to him. You see, He wanted to see if this young man knew to whom he was talking, to whom he had come. "There is none good but one, that is God." And we have a way of throwing adjectives around today and applying them to anything. Great. Tremendous, wonderful, precious, neat, cool, awesome. These are just some of the adjectives that fall from many of our lips on a daily basis. But the Word of God is careful in its use of adjectives. When the Bible uses the word good, it uses it very carefully. The Bible says, "The only one is good is God." And Jesus essentially is asking here, "Do you realize who I am? You cannot call me good unless you call me God. And if you don't call me God, you can't call me good. What a person believes about Jesus, my dear friends, is at the heart of salvation. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God, if you receive Jesus as God, you will have the life-changing power of Christ in your life. You will never be the same again. Further, the Lord Jesus Christ inquired about this young man's understanding of the purpose of the commandments. Verse 19. You read there in the passage we've read, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And the first four commandments have to do with our relationship to God. And the last six commandments have to do with our relationship to other people. And these are the ones that the Lord quoted here. These are the ones that the Lord quoted in verse 19. And he said, in effect, if you want to have life, these are the commandments. And you see his reply to the master. In verse 20, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Outwardly, and this was probably true. Here was a young man, as we've said before, who was very moral. He was very upright. He lived a good moral life. But this young man's problem was this. He had only a shallow examination of his heart. And most people make that mistake. Most of us have a tendency to look at the superficial goodness of our lives. And we look at ourselves and we say, "Well, I'm not as bad as that fellow down the street there. I'm not as bad as so-and-so that I work with. I'm not as bad as this one or that one or the other one." And we look at external respectability and conclude that we're okay. I'm a good person. I pay my taxes. I pay my bills. I live a decent life, etc., etc., etc. The purpose of the law is to serve as a probe, to help us go down to the very depths of the heart, to see ourselves as God sees us. And that's how we need to see ourselves tonight. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 20, "By the law is the knowledge of sin." God did not give the Ten Commandments to His people to keep them in order that they might go to heaven on the basis of keeping them. God didn't say, "I'm going to give you these Ten Commandments so that if you can go to heaven by checking them off and ticking the boxes, as it were." God gave the Ten Commandments as a mirror in order to show us ourselves as we really are. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We cannot be satisfied with superficial goodness. Human goodness is dangerous because it is deceptive. If you look at your life on the outside and say, "I'm pretty good, I'm a decent person," you do not allow God to take the searchlight of the Holy Spirit and shine it into your heart. Shine it into those secret places of your heart and life, and to show up the sin that exists in all of our hearts. Outward goodness can lull us to sleep. And there are many going to hell tonight thinking they're too good to need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there are many people, I'm sure, in Ballygowan tonight, and many people that you know and meet in the course of your life, and many people across Northern Ireland and across this island tonight and across the world tonight who think, "Well, I'm too good to need Jesus Christ. I don't need Jesus Christ." And people actually say that to me. "I don't need Jesus Christ." My friend, the danger is that people think they're good enough. But God shows us our hearts tonight, and God shows us how unrighteous and how unholy and how sinful and how depraved, totally depraved, we absolutely are.
And so the inquiry here, it's a very probing inquiry. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. Then there's the invitation in verse 21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus looked right into the soul of this man. And he saw what this young man could become if he would receive him as his Savior. One thing thou lackest. There's just one thing missing, as far as this man was concerned. One thing missing in your life. That's essentially what Jesus is saying to this young man. And maybe that's what he's saying to you tonight. There's just one thing that you need to do in order to be saved. Just one thing that you need to do in order to get to heaven. Question is, are you willing to do it? And that word lackest is the same verb that's found in Romans 3:22, where the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, Jesus puts his finger on the problem that was keeping this young man from being saved. It's like you go to a doctor, and the doctor, and you say, well, you know, I have a problem in such and such a place in my body, and the doctor just puts his finger on it. And you jump up. You know exactly that that's where it is. That's where the problem is. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. This young man's wealth had taken the place of God in his life. That was the problem. And that's one of the dangers of affluence. And one of the problems of being overprivileged, there are dangers in wealth, there are problems attached to material prosperity. And after the young man turned sadly away, Jesus looked round and saith unto his disciples, look at verse 22 and 23 of the passage we read, how hardly shall they that are riches enter into the kingdom of God. And these words shocked the disciples. They were astonished. Look at verse 24. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Look at verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Their response was in verse 26. Who then can be saved? And Jesus answered the question. Verse 27. With man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You see, with man salvation is impossible. Cannot be done. But there's only one way to be saved, and that's God's way. That's God's way. It's made possible through His Son, and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean to be saved I have to sell everything I have and give to the poor? Of course it doesn't. Was Jesus teaching that you have to choose a life of poverty in order to be saved? No, he wasn't. But the great physician does not treat every disease with the same medicine. The great physician knows the problem in the heart of every person and prescribes the medicine accordingly. He might say, if you want to be saved, you have to turn your back on that boyfriend or that girlfriend that's leading you astray to come to the Lord Jesus. He might say you have to give up that business deal that involves dishonesty. He might say you have to turn from that secret sin that you're embracing and involved in and clinging to. What is it that's keeping you from Christ tonight? What is it that's keeping you from the Lord Jesus? What is the problem in your life? You remember Jesus with the woman at the well? And she seemed so anxious to get the water. But Jesus said, go call thy husband, come hither. And the woman had five husbands. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ put his finger upon her sin.
Put his finger upon her sin. He puts his finger on your sin tonight. Jesus knows what it is. What it boils down to is this. You cannot have your sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have your sins and go to heaven. John Bunyan, the great man of God, he said this, and I quote, "Wilt thou have thy sins and go to hell, or leave thy sins and go to heaven?" It's that simple. It's that simple. Jesus dealt with the main problem in this young man's life and then said, "Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." And after the young man had gone, Peter said in verse 28, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And see verses 29 and 30. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life." In other words, it pays to serve the Lord. Well, there's a cost involved, of course. But it pays to serve the Lord. When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you turn your back on, He will make it up to you in ways you cannot imagine. Well, I feel sorry for people today who don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. I talk to people all the time, and you do too. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, even if there was no heaven, it's still worth living for the Lord Jesus Christ down here. But thank God there is a heaven, of course. But even if there weren't, I would still be glad I was living for the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had 10,000 lives tonight, I would give them all to Jesus. 10,000 lives. I'd give them all to Jesus. It'd be worth it all when we see the Lord. Worth it all when we see the Lord. But finally and briefly tonight, the mistake. The man. The master. The mistake. Verse 22. The Bible tells us here concerning this young man. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved for his great possessions. He went away from Christ. He made the wrong decision. He was sad at that saying. He was grieved, but it wasn't a godly sorrow. It wasn't a godly sorrow that brought him to repentance. He wanted God, but not at the price of his gold. He wanted eternal life, but he wasn't willing to give up his luxury. He walked away from Christ. He chose the material over the eternal. I've often wondered what happened to him. Was he ever saved? The Bible doesn't say. But what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to walk away from this meeting, from this service? Walk away from Christ? Are you going to refuse and reject the Son of God and turn your back upon Him for the last time? Is this going to be God's final call to you tonight? I pray you'll not make the tragic choice that this young man made. With all that he had going for him, and with all of his coming to Christ, and the way he came, yet he went away from Christ without his salvation. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Oh, my friend, tonight, don't make the mistake this young man made. But come to Christ tonight. Be saved. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. We're turning to the hymn, and you make these words the prayer of your heart. I'm coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I'm counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. Keeping our seats as we sing the words of this hymn. Make it the prayer of your heart if you're not saved and willing tonight to come to the Lord Jesus.
not saved, or you're not sure, or you're a backslider, do come and speak with us afterwards. Be out there outside, happy to speak to you from God's word, show you tonight how you can be saved. I trust you will come tonight to the Saviour. Father in heaven, apply thy word by the power of thy Spirit to every hearer, and we pray that tonight there will be those that will come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, their own and personal Saviour. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for listening tonight, and may God bless you.